I'm Steve Potter, and still to come on Cityscape, the passing of the first African-American to dance at the Muni. In August, journalist Mo Rocca came through St. Louis while doing research for a feature for CBS Sunday Morning. I had a chance to talk with him, but the noon broadcast of my complete discussion with him on August 30th was preempted for President Obama's speech about Syria. We bring a portion of that conversation to you now. Mo had recently been in St. Louis in another role as a panelist on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which was recorded before a live audience at Pell Hall. I asked him how well he knows St. Louis.
I want to be more familiar with it. I haven't been up in the Arch yet. I want to do that. I understand that you can get into it sounds like it's like what a miner would get into to go way down deep, but you'd be going up, I guess, and over. So I'd like to do that. I know there are little windows at the top.
It's a tiny little elevator, and it shifts as you go up.
And do you have one of those headlamps on while you're in there? I want to go to the farm where Ulysses S. Grant, excuse me.
Grant's farm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that was really Julia, his wife's family's farm. Is that right?
I'm not sure.
I think it was. I want to geez, there are a lot of things I want to do. I've been to the cathedral. It's really beautiful in St. Louis.
Basilica. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right. It's a basilica.
Cathedral Basilica.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the basilica is really beautiful too.
Right.
You should check out the cathedral. It's amazing.
Hey, listen, you have an interesting background. You grew up in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. right? And acting was a big part of your life. Well, I guess it still is.
Yes. I thought I wanted to be on Broadway.
You were.
I have been on Broadway in the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which I loved. But then I got into this world that probably always existed, this sort of comedy, news – sort of that kind of hybrid pretty early on and have sort of stayed in it. It's a great place in which to tell stories. And that sounds a little pretentious, but that's the best way I can put it.
Not at all. Well, you had some runs like on The Tonight Show and The Daily Show.
Uh-huh.
How did you get there?
Well, my first on-camera job was actually The Daily Show, and I got that partly because I'm a presidential history buff and was traveling around the country visiting the homes and grave sites of presidents that you can't remember were president. The guys between Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt, you know, with all the facial hair, a couple of them were were knocked off by anarchists. And I found that at those historic sites, you met people that really had to believe in the president that they were helping to memorialize. So, for instance, if I went to Indianapolis to the home of Benjamin Harrison, and I met a woman there that was so obsessed with Benjamin Harrison, she had been volunteering there for 22 years, and she'd put on a Victorian gown. And the tour she gave of the Benjamin Harrison house in the old North Side section of Indianapolis on Delaware Avenue was so great that by the end of it, you wanted to sandblast Mount Rushmore and replace it with Benjamin Harrison. And I fell in love with characters like those, that was the way that I actually got onto The Daily Show, because I met a guy in Marion, Ohio, the home of Warren G. Harding, that was so obsessed with Warren Harding and his wife that he would dress up as Mrs. Harding to give tours of the house. But it wasn't just a shticky drag queen act. He was actually really good at it and drew you in. I love stories like those that maybe have a part that on the surface seem a little silly and wacky, but there's actually real substance and material at the heart of them.
You have in your background, too. You did a lot of children's-related programs like the one on PBS, Wishbone, was that it? And some others. So are you interested in – you must be interested in kids.
Sure. But I mean, you know, this show, Wishbone, that I did on PBS in the mid-90s, I have to say it was a good show about a Jack Russell Terrier live-action show, a dog who in his dream life became the heroes of classic novels in order to familiarize kids between the ages of 6 and 11 with the themes of those books. And I think it worked, and I think it was really entertaining. But what it did for me personally is it really taught me how to tell a story. And I know I can work on that even more, but taking great books, classic novels that you can return to over and over again, and breaking them down into a 30-minute episode for kids of that age is an exciting challenge, because kids don't respond to bad storytelling. They'll instantly become bored. They're a great barometer. So bad writing, bad narrative writing involves just adding filler, having people just talk just to fill up space. Kids demand that the story remain dynamic, and stories should be dynamic. So to take a novel like Don Quixote or Treasure Island, a whole range of them, and make it into 30 minutes that really move, and to keep a kid that's 9 years old interested in that, you know you've done something right.
So if you can hold a kid's attention.
Yeah. And so in my career, I've had a lot of different jobs already, and I always go back to that experience. And so on CBS Sunday Morning, if I tell a story between 4 minutes or 11 minutes, which is a big luxury if you can go on that long, I always go back to those skill sets I learned from adapting classic novels into kids' shows. And in my cooking show, which I'm very proud of, which is not really a cooking show but more about people's lives, the same skills I hope I bring to bear.
Let's talk about that. You're, I guess, just finished your first season?
Well, the first season finished airing. We just finished shooting our second season, so it's very exciting.
My grandmother's ravioli.
Yeah.
So, you know, you deal with recipes, as you say, but it's also dealing with people's grandparents and hearing their stories. That's what it's really about.
Yeah, the inspiration was my grandmother had this terrific grandmother. I was very close to her, and she made these fabulous Sunday dinners for the family. And if I had a time machine, I would go back 30 years and I would show up at her apartment at least 15 minutes early before eating to learn a little about what she was doing in the kitchen. She worked a full-time job at a department store in downtown DC, but she still insisted on making these big dinners because she wanted to. But I wish I could that ravioli she made, and it's called my grandmother's ravioli, but the ravioli she made was one way in which she showed how much she loved us. It was a lot of work, all the dinners that she would make. And she otherwise was a very low-key person. There was something almost flamboyant about some of the dinners that she would make. But I very fondly remember those ravioli. And so, you know, I don't have her to learn from anymore, so I thought I'd do the next best thing, which is learn from other people's grandparents. So every episode I go to a different grandparent around the country to their kitchen, and they teach me a treasured family recipe. But it's less about how to cook than why they cook. And I've learned so much from the people that have been on this show, and it's been really wonderful.
I really relate to you about that. I was close to my grandmother. In fact, I moved in with her and lived with her in her house for a couple of years when she was 95. And she was an old German lady and cooked a lot. But it's the story she used to tell, and I could kick myself for not writing all those things down.
Same here. And it's nice that at least that with these episodes that I'm doing that this material is on tape. Our first season, we had a great German grandmother. Her name, Cookie Oma. This woman was such a terrific character. And she taught me to make rouladen, rolled steak, and Pflaumenkuchen, a plum tart. And we had sauerkraut on the side, of course, but it was absolutely wonderful.
The new season of My Grandmother's Ravioli begins Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock on the Cooking Channel. You can hear the entire interview at stlpublicradio.org.